I know as soon as I walked in the door, everyone here recognized me because 48 years ago, I did a youth revival for you. How many of you remember that? I mean, it's like imprinted in your mind, right? Y'all just looking like 48 years ago. How many of you were here 48 years ago? Well, just look back, and I'm in there somewhere, one of those moments that you can't forget, right? It's good to be with you this morning. I appreciate Pastor Randy inviting me to come and share his pulpit this morning. I always consider it a privilege when I'm given an opportunity to share the Word of God and be here with you today in Anna, Illinois. I'm exactly about 35, 40 minutes away from here. My wife and I, Rosie, we live in Jackson, Missouri. And I brought my father with me today. He lives in Cape Girardeau. So he don't mind me telling you how old he is. He's 94. I won't tell you how old Rosie is, though. She gets a little touchy about that. But it's good to be here with you today. And I'm looking forward to sharing the word and hopefully sharing some truth today that will cause us to rethink maybe our place at the table. I want to talk to you this morning. If you want to turn your Bibles with me, we'll read a passage of Scripture here this morning to get started in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 23. Would you mind standing with me as we read the Word of God this morning? And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. And they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, would you speak into our hearts and our spirits today and open our minds to hear truth today that will not only teach us something, but bring transformation into our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this, you may be seated, thank you. I want to talk to you this morning about table manners in the kingdom of God. What does it mean to sit around the table of God and the table with Jesus? All of us here in our own lives, we have a set expectation at your dinner table, your breakfast table. When your children come, your grandchildren come, there's a way we behave as family units. We know that. When someone new from the outside comes in to our table, they may not know. You may hold hands when you pray. You may not pray. You may serve dessert first and then dinner later. No one knows that except those of you that are part of your kingdom, your home. And we all share that. And around the table, a lot of exciting things happen. We share memories. You can think back over some great events in the life of your family, maybe family reunions or something to that, where a lot of good things happen around the table, and sometimes some challenging things and challenging conversations happen around the table. And as a family, we share in those moments together, and we learn lessons from those about how to live life. Our children learn how to live life around the table about as often as they do any place else. Sometimes our tables are filled with laughter. Sometimes they're filled, our memories, with embarrassment. Sometimes our memories of table are with regrets. But it's all there. It happens around the table. That's what I want to talk to you this morning about, sitting around the table with Jesus in the kingdom of God. There were a number of table experiences that Jesus had with his disciples. If you read through the Gospels, he was always having dinner with them, sitting, reclining. This passage we read today is the story, obviously, of the Last Supper, where Jesus reclined at the table with his disciples. We'll touch a little bit on that later, and some of the events and some of the memorable things that happened around that table that we still reflect on today. But there were a lot of other events in the life of Jesus with his disciples where he sat at the table with them. And most of those experiences had the potential of being transformative, of changing the lives of those disciples if they were into that moment with Jesus. And still, you and I today, as we're invited into this relationship with Jesus, wants to invite us to the table today. He wants to invite us to the table to be reminded of what the table manners are in the kingdom of God, because I think sometimes, even in the church, we forget what the table manners are and expectations of Jesus when we gather around the table. I think about the different times that Jesus' disciples sat with him around the table. There were times when they came around the table and the table was filled with confusion, when they didn't know what was going on, when they were frustrated. And Jesus said, you remember the story of Jesus after the resurrection, the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. They'd been followers of Jesus and stayed close to him. And little about the crucifixion and little about the resurrection really was making sense to them. So we have this story in the Gospel of Luke of these two disciples are on the way to the road to Emmaus. And they're talking about the resurrection, of what they heard. They're talking about the crucifixion, and their minds were befuddled. And this stranger comes up and begins to walk with them. We know that it was Jesus. They didn't. And they walked along, and they came to the fork in the road. They were ready to go to their home, and Jesus was going another way. And they said, well, come and have dinner with us. So Jesus went in, the story tells us, and he sat at the table with the disciples. They talked about the recent days. They talked to him about how confusing it was, how disappointed they were, and all that was transpiring in their lives at that moment. And then Jesus took the bread that was at the table, the Bible says, and when he broke the bread and handed it to them, suddenly, the Bible says, use this for their hearts burned within them. They realized they were sitting in the presence of Jesus. And total clarity came into their life, from confusion to clarity. I know there's times in your life, there's been times in mine, aplenty, when I've even wondered where the presence of the Lord was at. And yet, he's always at the table with us. And he's always ready for his presence to dissipate the confusion in our life and bring clarity into who he is and who we are, that gives us energy to get up and to walk away that day with full faith and confidence in who he is, who he was, and who he will be. Amen? From confusion to clarity, Jesus met the disciples there at the table. Jesus met his disciples at the table when they were starving, when they were hungry. Thousands would gather. Jesus, you remember the stories, several of them in the Gospels, in Mark chapter 6, where there were 5,000 on the hillside. The disciples said, send them away. Jesus said, no, invite them to the table. They're all starving. And it looked like there was no way they would feed the 5,000, but Jesus invited them to the table. They were all sitting down. He had them sit in groups. They brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And Jesus took the bread again, and he broke it, and he began to pass it around. And the Bible says they all ate and were satisfied. Let me tell you, there's these moments in life when it looks like even the resources of God are going to be in short supply. But when we pull to the table and Jesus sits at the table with us, even in those moments of wondering, Jesus has a way of satisfying the starving tendencies in our life. When we thought there was nothing that could be done, sitting at the table, Jesus reminds us that He always has enough. Amen? That's a lesson they learned at the table that they would learn over and over again. Another lesson they learned at the table was that they could live their lives and people could come to Jesus with a spirit of rejection on them and leave with a spirit of acceptance. You know, it's the story in Matthew when Jesus went to Matthew's house. And the Bible says they were having dinner. They were sitting around a table. Tax collectors, sinners, folks of ill repute, and the folks of high standing in the church were coming and saying, why is he doing that? Why is he sitting with those folks at the table? They would be preferred that Jesus would say, this isn't a table for you. This is only for those who have their lives all together. But then again, if that was the criteria, there wouldn't be any of us sitting at the table, would there? So the criteria isn't having our lives together. The criteria is sitting at a table with Jesus, and all the sense of rejection that we bring to the table, all the sense of insecurity, the inadequacies that we have, Jesus sits at the table and says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Amen? Amen? So that's what we learn when we sit at the table with Jesus. All of you have been in those places. We can tell stories and we can start saying, hey, brother, tell me a time when you came to the table and you felt rejected. You would have that story. Tell me a time when you came to the church and you didn't feel accepted. You would have that story. Tell me a time when there weren't enough resources. You would have that story. Tell me a time when you were so confused about what happened in life. You would have that story because you were invited to the table to sit around. And here we are this morning, still learning those stories about table manners in the kingdom of God. But there's one other lesson that I think the church needs to rehearse again and again and be reminded of. The others we're familiar with. They come primarily about our needs coming to the table. But yet the table manners of the kingdom describe a different setting at the table. It's when we as disciples move from sitting at the table to serving the table. We love to come and sit at the table and eat the abundance of God and the resources and the peace of God. But Jesus continues to call his disciples. All through, he met them in different places. Then toward the end of his ministry, the passage we read, Jesus invites them to another table. And at that table, he teaches them another. He teaches them really what the table manners of the kingdom of God are. Because they all come with their own ideas and own thoughts about what it means to be in the kingdom of God, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I like the passage in John chapter 13, verse 4. And let me read several verses from there for you. It won't be on the screen. So he got up from the meal after they had sat at the table. They had laughed and they had cried and they had joked. And he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Then he said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus kind of flipped the script. He's invited them to the table, but now he comes to the table. He says, sitting at the table requires more than just being served. If you're going to be a follower of me, it requires serving and giving your life away as I've given my life to you. And so he models that. He gets up from the table and he washes their feet. And you know these stories. You've heard them and how they rejected and they pushed back. And Peter, you won't ever wash my feet. That's the role of a servant. And Jesus is like, exactly. That's exactly right. You remember when you first started your spiritual journey? Some of you may have to think back a few years. Maybe some of you not so much. You remember when he first invited you to the table and you begin to come and sit at the table with Jesus? As I was praying this morning, preparing, I didn't have it in my notes, but this song, the old song came to my mind. And it was, "Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine." Something all the time. "Turns the water into wine, come and dine." I don't get all the words, but you saying that, "Come and dine with the master." And that was kind of the invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that weary." And you came. And you started sitting at the table in your confusion. We've talked about those things. And you began to, and it's enjoyable, isn't it? When you come from confusion and brokenness to come and sit at a table where you get up and you're going, "Oh man, I feel so full. I feel so full of Jesus. I feel so full. I can't wait to come back to the table again." You remember that? How fresh that was in your life? The reality is, and as good of a thing as that is, that if you'd be honest with me, most of the focus in that was on you. Was on ourselves. As it should be in that, in the brokenness. But now, 20 years, 30 years later, 40, maybe 50 for some of you, your focus is still, what are we having to eat? Come to the table. I hope the table is prepared right. I hope it is serving me what I need today. And as we sit at his table, Jesus says, "Listen, I've got another lesson to teach you. I'm going to show you now what it means to be a follower and to sit at my table." Because table manners in the kingdom are different than table manners around your table, perhaps. There's a certain set of expectations for those who sit at Jesus' table. Now, we don't know them all when we start. It's like you're going into a new family, invited to their Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. You don't know what the expectation is in that, but you watch and you look and you learn, and you go the second year and you're going, that's about the same. You begin to learn, and so you either adapt into that or you... And it's in the kingdom of God we come. We don't know, but we begin to be shown, and it's very satisfying and pleasing. But then, as we walk with Jesus, if we'll watch and we'll pay attention, he begins to go deeper into what it means to sit around the table. Deeper into what it means to walk with him. I enjoy eating out. Most of you have eaten out probably once or more this week. And the people that bring the food to the table are the servers. And when we go out, we certainly typically have a pretty high expectation, don't we, that we're going to get good service. And if we do, we reward them because that's the expectation that we have. In those moments, most of us would rather be sitting at the table than serving the table. That's why we go out and eat. And seeing we forget, I think, even about that or about our own lives, is sometimes, most of the time, well, all the time, in fact, being a servant is hard and challenging, meeting people's expectations. And yet Jesus became the servant of all. And he took a towel, and he began to wash feet, and they rejected and said, "No, you're not doing that right. We don't do it that way." But Jesus said, "Around my table, this is the way things operate. This is the way it goes." One of my favorite sayings that I've articulated and preached on over the years and used it in a lot of different messages because it just resonates with me and convicts me as well. It's this saying that you know how much of a servant you are by the way you act when you're treated like one. Let that settle in for a minute. We say that we're servants of Jesus. We're at His disposal. We'll do whatever God calls us. I'll go where you want me to go, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do, I'll say. And then all of a sudden, when we have to go someplace, do something, or say something, that doesn't really settle with the way we are, it's a different story. And then we know how much of a servant we really are and how much work is still required of Jesus in our life to bring us to that place. And there's this mental and spiritual shift that is required of us in our lives as we follow Jesus and He invites us to the table. That we don't continue just to live on the milk, but we move toward the meat. We move toward what it means and learn what it means from Jesus to be a servant of all mankind. The followers of Jesus were called to be servants. In fact, most of the notables in Scripture, they're all notable, but those who we esteem and their names are well known, had to learn that lesson someplace in their life. And yet, the Apostle Paul referred to himself in Romans 1:1, I am Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. That wasn't just a flippant term that he threw around. He'd come to understand what it meant to be a servant in the kingdom of God, around the table of God. James said, I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, I am a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude said, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They all sat around the table. They all brought different experiences in their life. But all of them sat around the table when Jesus said, this is what it means to serve. This is what it means to move from sitting around the table to serving around the table. I'm afraid that one of the lessons that we in the church need to be reminded of, again, not that we don't know that, but that He has called us to come here and serve. Serve this community, the community beyond these walls. And yet, in many places, the church has become and seems kind of nothing more than a celebrated cruise ship. Have you ever been on a cruise? I like to go cruising. Rosie and I have been on 3 or 4 different cruises. And you know, the unique thing about cruise is you know, if you want to eat fancy, you can eat fancy. If you want to eat in your sandals and swimsuit, you can get a burger outside by the pool. If you want to eat around a buffet, you can go to the buffet. If you want to go someplace, there's just all kinds of tables to sit at. But you don't have to do anything to fix any of it. It's just there. It's just served. You just sit and be served. When you go out every morning, the deck chairs are all lined up. They're perfect. If deck chairs are out of the hole, you usually go around and go, well, where's the people who's supposed to straighten out the deck chairs? You get the picture. And I'm afraid that sometimes over these years that we become so used to coming and sitting at the table and being served that when things aren't lined up just like they would be, is supposed to be, on our cruise ship, we have something to say about that. Jesus has called us to a different table. And there are different table manners involved in that. There's a shift that has to take place. I know you may not be familiar with all those. You may not even practice those. You may have just indulged your life in sitting at the table and Jesus, but when you've been introduced to it, you understand there's a different world. And to just look at it and go, well, that's not my world, that's not what I like, is not an acceptable response to what Jesus is trying to teach us. I'm kind of a Golden Corral kind of guy. You know, I like buffets, I like kind of that, much to my demise. It's not good and healthy, but I kind of like that. And I know how to operate in Golden Corral. I know how to make your way to the bar and get up there and get around and get what you want. Several years ago, Rosie and I went to, for the first time we'd ever really gone, somebody had given us a rather large gift certificate to restaurant in Arizona up on top of one of the mountains in Phoenix. And I won't go into all that was involved in that. I can just tell you that the meal was $176 for two of us. The gift certificate covered it. It's not the kind of thing that I do, but there it was, and we went, and $176. That's not the kind of table I usually sit around. But when I walked into that place and sat down, I realized pretty quickly that I was out of my element. They had more forks and knives on that table than we have in our silverware drawer at home. And more glasses and more dishes. And someone was there scraping crumbs off the table after everything we had. And it just went on, and they served it in waves, you know, one serving and then another serving. And it was about an hour and a half to 2 hours to eat one meal. So we got our money's worth, I guess. But I came out of there trying to evaluate how well I did. I don't think I did really well. It was felt uncomfortable. Could I get used to that? I don't know. I don't know. That's not the point. But it felt uncomfortable. It felt awkward because I had. And in the kingdom of God, when Jesus invites us to the table and we move beyond just the golden corral mentality, there to serve ourselves and get what we want, and we come and sit at the table and we begin to serve, we realize that this is different. Because this transitions from being served to serving. Becoming the server and not the one that's being served. And so the disciples had to transition all that, just like you and I do. It's part of what being a disciple, becoming a disciple means. It's more than just getting saved and then coming into a fullness of the Spirit, being sanctified. It's about living into the continuing sanctifying grace of the Spirit of God, changing us. And every time I come to the table, He teaches me something new and expects me to kind of move beyond myself. Those disciples, as they went through life, they didn't understand what humility meant. They had too much pride. The Bible says they had an argument among themselves as to who was the greatest. The Lord knows you've never heard an argument in the church about anything over my ideas better than yours. No one's ever done that in the church. But we sit around that table. And the disciples had to learn that. They had to learn that what it meant to be inconvenienced, because they were too selfish. That they were absolutely too selfish. When the thousands were there on the hillside, Jesus looked and had compassion and said, and the disciple says, send them away, it's late. We're too tired, we don't have the resources. They didn't understand the grace and the spirit of forgiveness. Peter said, how many times do I have to forgive this person who's been ugly to me as I served them? And I tried to be nice to them, and they were ugly to me. You mean I have to go serve that table again? And Jesus said again and again. And the disciples had to learn that. There is Judas sat around the table and was being ugly to the server. And Jesus served again. They didn't understand spiritual discernment. They had to sit around the table that when they were going through the crowd, they didn't have a sense that there was a lady reaching out, touching Jesus that was needing more from Him. They were ready just to move through the crowd. And we sit around the table. We learn to slow down and develop a sense of spiritual discernment. They didn't understand the spirit of cooperation. They were too competitive. When there was other folks that were doing miracles, they said, they're competing with us, Jesus. And Jesus says, if they're not against us, they're for us. We're not in a competition here. We're here to serve each other. They didn't understand nonviolence and settling issues. They went for the sword. And Jesus reached out in peace. They didn't understand servanthood. They had too much prejudice, too much pride, too much competitiveness. And Jesus said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's. Now, what part of that don't we understand today as it relates to table manners? Washing others' feet. That's not a task that we think it's kind of hyperbole and just kind of a parable Jesus is giving, but Jesus says, no, it goes beyond that. In their day, culture, of course, washing feet was the role of a servant. They walked and their feet were dirty and stuff. And so we could find an equivalent of that today, I suppose, if we wanted to go down and list. But the point was, he humbled himself and he got down on his knees where it was dirty and nasty. And he washed their feet. And he says, you should do as I've done for you. It's challenging to do that because we have to learn new table manners for that to happen in our lives. We all do. I went on a retreat, been a number of years ago now, and there were a bunch of couples that were there, and the speaker on one of those sessions announced early in the week that we were going to do a foot washing service. Anybody here ever been in a legitimate foot washing service? Most of our Nazarene tribe hasn't. You know, we just talk about it and symbolically wash people's feet. But he said, we're going to have a foot washing service. We're going to wash each other's feet. Well, I have to tell you that, you know, I was a pastor, right? And I'd never done that. And it was kind of a, you know, outside I was like, yeah, okay. Inside I'm going, what? Are you kidding? And so all week, you know, kind of thinking about that, and finally comes the night of the service. He preaches a wonderful message on foot washing and divides the men and the women up, men to one side. And I had a half a dozen men with me from my church, and they all went over again and stood against the wall and took this posture. It's just the way they stood, just like this. And he invited up. And of course, I was a pastor, and I'll be honest, that's probably the table I'm around. I would have been more comfortable. That's more my table manners. It would have been, that's kind of where, but something inside of me, and as a leader, and as a pastor, and as an equipper, and a learner, the Spirit wouldn't allow me to do that. It drew me in. And there was a young man on that ski trip who was not even a Christian. He didn't know the table manners of these men. All he knew was the speaker said, we're all going to come around this table and this is what we're going to do. And he's like, all right, I'm all in. So it was me and him. And I got down on my knees in front of that young man. He took his socks off and there's a basin of water and I began to wash his feet and he sat there. And he was just astounded. And you say a few words of encouragement. I've noticed about you this week, and I've appreciated this about you, that kind of a thing. And then it was my turn. You know, it's one thing to wash feet. It's another thing to have your feet washed. There's two different experiences going on there. And you'd think it'd be more comfortable to have your feet washed, but not so much. So I sit there on that chair, and this young man who was just being introduced to the kingdom of God, got down on his hands and knees, took that water, put it on my feet, looked up into my face, and tears were streaming down his cheeks. And he called me by name, and he said, I want to thank you. I've never experienced anything like this. This is an amazing week. You've been so kind. And inside I feel like, oh my, I felt so guilty in one way because I really didn't want to be there. But yet, as I pulled up to the table, Jesus was teaching me something brand new about table manners. That regardless of how old and what our life experiences are, or what it's like around the table where you eat every week, or the church that you're a part of, Jesus is always trying to move us to a deeper level of serving other people, symbolic in that act there. Amen. And I received that blessing that night. It's one thing to give blessing. It's another thing to receive blessing and to learn. And Jesus said, I have done these things for you that you will do these for others as you are learning from me. And so in the church today, my appeal to the church is what have we got left to learn about sitting at the table? What is it that Jesus is trying to teach us? You say, oh no, he's getting ready to do a foot washing service at the end of the service. No, I'm not. Just relax. But Jesus might be calling you to wash someone's feet in a way of serving them, whatever that looks like. As you've seen me do this, so you should do it too. So here's our posture. He's calling us from sitting at the table to serving the table. And that requires something pretty, pretty drastic in our lives. I would call it learning to die at the table. It's obvious that something in the disciples needed change. And I would say, I pastored for 38 years, and I'm just a learner and a grower along. And it's been obvious in my life that needs to change. And the six congregations I pastored, it was obvious that not everybody there had arrived either. And changes need to continue to grow in our lives. And Jesus' expectation was clear. He expected them to become servants. I've set you an example, he said. Your table manners are terrible, he says. I've set you an example. I've shown you which fork to eat with here. And I expect that you do that. I've shown you what it looks like to be a disciple. And I expect you to do that because that's the table manners of the kingdom. And to ignore those becomes disrespectful and obnoxious toward our guest, toward our host who's invited us. So Jesus, when he finishes the table, the Bible says, he got up and he went to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when Jesus got to the Mount of Olives, he went to another table. And he knelt, as we've been led to believe, and I believe I've been there, and I can see the reality of that, knelt at a rock, a table. And Jesus and God said to him, this is a table that I've called you to serve at. And even for Jesus, it was challenging, for he said, you know, let this cup pass from me. Let this table pass from me. There's got to be... And he prayed once and he went back. Disciples were sleeping. Terrible table manners. He went back a second time. You know the story. He came back the third time. And the third time, when he's pulled up to the table with tears flowing down his face, like sweat drops of blood, the Bible says, he said to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. This is how I serve at your table. I'm all in. And we know the story. He was arrested, crucified, buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And so Jesus says to us, listen, if you're going to learn the table manners of the kingdom, you're going to have to experience Gethsemane. You're going to have to move from a table of self-indulgence to a table of self-sacrifice, where you're all into the kingdom, my kingdom, not yours. And you're going to have to die to your future and die to the outcomes that you've hoped for. And so the disciples followed Jesus' direction after the resurrection. And he said, go back to Jerusalem. And when you sit around that table in Jerusalem that's been prepared for you, I want you to rehearse your kingdom manners. I don't know why it took 10 days for the Holy Spirit to come. I suspect there were a lot of bad table manners still going on. Folks still trying to get things done their way. I think it ought to be like this. I think Jesus meant that. This would be the best outcome for me. But the Bible says at the end of 10 days, when they were all in one accord, when they were all together, when they were all practicing the same kingdom manners, the Holy Spirit came on them. Amen? Listen, we need the Holy Spirit to come on the church today. We need a fresh filling. But it's not going to happen until we come around the table with our palms up and stop grabbing and pulling and this, and our palms up before Jesus and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come, have your will, have your way, make me a servant, help me to reach the people that are around me, to be aware of the brokenness that's in my community. And the Holy Spirit came, filled them with the Spirit. And they moved from there at that table and they stepped out and they began to proclaim everywhere. And it says in Acts 2:45, they sold all their possessions and they gave to anyone as he had need. You get to Acts chapter 6, you have all the disciples waiting on tables. All the disciples in Acts chapter 6 were waiting, serving tables. It's the picture of the church. A man comes to Peter and John, going to the temple, trying to get into the table. And they didn't have a pass for him to get into the table. They didn't have enough resources. But Peter and John said, "We don't have silver or gold. But what we do have you is a seat at the table with Jesus. In Jesus' name, rise and be healed." Amen. And the man leapt to his feet. And he joined the table. You know what the world needs today? Is an invitation to the table. That's served by those of us who have already been there, and that we continue to eat. May that be so, Lord Jesus. May you fill us with your grace and humble us with your Spirit. Would you stand, please? So I invite you to the table this morning to receive his blessing. Something that may be different for you. Let's try some new table manners this morning. Would you put your hands out in front of you for just a moment and turn your palms upright? This may be different for you. This is another way to sit at the table and receive this blessing and this benediction from Jesus, who says, "Go and do thou likewise." Father, I pray your blessing and your grace upon this good church here in Anna. I pray for Pastor Randy as he leads them. Oh God, may each of us here walk away today looking into our hearts and our lives and trying to learn how we can be better servants and how we can serve at a table that includes everybody, from the least to the lost, to the most lonely. And then like Jesus, we can pour grace and hope and peace into their lives. For it's in your name and your resurrection power I pray this. Amen. Receive this and go. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. God bless you.